Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. May God's blessing be on you at the beginning of this new week. The Church gives us in the readings, the first reading, most days this week, I think all 4 of the 5 days, excerpts from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. There's just gold there, as there is almost always, right, when we study God's Word. But there's gold for us right at this moment, I think, in this moment in the life, in the history of the Church, the history of the Church here in our country. There's teaching from Paul's life and the wisdom that he shares and the joy that he has in his heart for the brothers and sisters that he loves. It's a moment for us, I think, we can harvest some things from this letter that help give us the kind of strength, encouragement, perspective that's very helpful when we're going through times of difficulty in trial. Because, of course, Paul's writing this letter from prison, probably from Rome, and he's writing to brothers and sisters in Philippi, who Paul established the church there around 50 AD. And these brothers and sisters helped Paul. You know, they prayed for him while he was in prison. They sent money to him. And he speaks in this letter from his heart. It's not a letter that's full of a lot of doctrine. It's not an intense polemical letter, but it's like it's a personal letter. And he talks about his life. He talks about them. He talks about how the Lord's at work, and he challenges them to imitate Christ and boldly, he says, to imitate him as he imitates Christ. So I want to harvest some of this stuff this week. Hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you, the power of God's word. I want to start at chapter 1, verse 19 and following. Paul says this, "Yes, and I shall rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." That is his time in prison. This is all going to be good for him. Paul will say at some point he's learned how to be abased and how to abound. He's not worried about being in prison because Jesus Christ is glorified in all things. But it's great to see how much Paul communicates to the brothers and sisters, the consolation he draws from knowing that they love him and that they're praying and for him and lifting him up before the Lord. It's a great model for how we ought to relate to each other, that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we pray for each other. Our hearts, one of the ways we express love for those that we're not with, that are not close to us physically, is to pray for them each day, to lift them up before the Lord, especially those who are living in the midst of challenge and trial and difficulty. And Paul, of course, his confidence is in Christ. He said the Spirit of Jesus Christ is with him to strengthen him. He said, "As it is my eager expectation and hope that I shall not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul's passion is to have Jesus glorified in his life, whether it's in his living or his dying, whether he's abased or whether he abounds. His passion now, having met Jesus, knowing Jesus, and having Jesus as the reason for his existence and the reason for living, he's now free. He's got a level of freedom that the circumstances of his life don't dictate his internal disposition. They don't control him. They don't lead him to discouragement. Like, he's in prison. He's rejoicing in what the Lord is doing. Now, those prisons were not great places to be. They were not comfortable. They were very difficult. And he was alone there, but he knew he wasn't completely alone because Christ was with him. And so he's able to declare to his friends the truth that's in his heart. They want to know how he's doing, so he's communicating it to them. He says, he reminds him, he's giving glory to Christ, and he's honoring the Lord in his body. It's kind of a theme that Paul touches in a number of his letters, that he exhorts each one of us to honor God with our body. And to him, it meant, in some places, it meant that we honor God how we live our life sexually, that we order ourselves to chastity, and we honor God with how we discipline ourselves properly in love. But here he's talking about, well, if they come to take my life, so be it. I'll honor God in my death, but I'll also honor God in my life. Verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." There's so much said in that simple sentence. "For to me to live is Christ." This is not just the unique confession of an apostle, like somebody who, because of his calling, his unique calling, he's in a position to say something like that. This is actually the witness of the life of every disciple, It's what it means to be a disciple. We come to this point, to the realization and the understanding that Christ is life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and bring his life and the fullness of his life to us. Paul came to understand it and to experience it and to walk in it so he could make this confession from his heart. What's the meaning of his life? Christ. To live means to walk in Christ, to obey Christ, to love those Christ brings into his life. But to die is gain. To die is not a loss. Why? Because literally then he's united to Christ in his fullness. He shares in the promise of Jesus, in the resurrection of our Lord, and the glory that belongs to Jesus. Paul knows it awaits him. So death is a gain. He's not afraid of dying anymore. But so he's now wrestling with the advantage of staying here for the sake of those, for the sake of the lost, and for the sake of those the Lord has given him to lead and to love and to shepherd. He balances the two. He says, if it is to be life in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So Paul's confidence, I'm inspired by his confidence here. He said, my desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. He knows where he's going. Here's an exercise of Christian hope. You see in Paul's letters, often he touches on faith, hope, and love, the theological virtues, both directly. Sometimes he'll name them and he'll teach on them. But other times he'll just talk about his experience of life. You could say, ah, there's faith alive in him. There's the trust, the surrender, the abandonment to God, or the faith that allows him to see Jesus, to see the glory and majesty of Jesus and declare it so powerfully. And so that's what he's doing here. It's both a combination of faith and hope at work here, to me anyway, in this sentence, that he's able to, he knows for sure that to depart and to be with Christ is far better because he has seen through the eyes of faith, Jesus Christ risen, Jesus Christ exalted at the right hand of the Father, and he's proclaimed what the Lord, the Holy Spirit has shown him. Again, that's part of the destiny and the gift given to every single disciple. Those who are disciples of Jesus are baptized into Christ. They become a new creation. And through the gift of the Holy Spirit, they become children of God. And through that same Holy Spirit, they're made capable. They have a new capacity to be able to see and to grasp the beauty, the majesty, and the glory of Jesus, the victory of Jesus. And in seeing Jesus, we see the destiny of the human race, that is to share in the glory that belongs to Christ, because in his own flesh, he's taken us into the presence of the Father, and now we can see with eyes of hope, right? Hope is the conviction that what we see, we shall obtain, and what we see in faith is Christ reigning at the right hand of the Father in victory, and Paul knows that's where he's headed. He'll talk later at some point about it. In one of his letters, I think it's Corinthians, the eternal weight of glory beyond all compare, which awaits us. That's something that the Holy Spirit wants every disciple to be able to know in this life, to have faith, conviction, confidence, and the experience of Christ and his love that gives us an abiding security that no matter what the circumstance of my life, I know my life is headed toward its fulfillment. I know it's headed toward its ultimate destiny. And this life is a blink of an eye. It's a passing shadow. Here today, gone tomorrow. And so the big thing in my life that my life is heading toward, that is meeting Jesus, that is standing before Christ, before the judgment seat of God, being welcomed into the Father's presence and living with him forever, the big thing is already at work. It's already at work in me through the gift of the Holy Spirit and being united to Jesus. So Paul's got this amazing freedom. As he's in prison, he's speaking with this kind of freedom. He knows that despite the fact that he's literally imprisoned, maybe chained, whatever, that he's actually free. And he's there because Christ has permitted it, not just because his enemies have captured him and put him there. He's there because of his preaching of the gospel. But he knows that Jesus is in control of everything, no matter what the circumstance. That's a great lesson for all of us because it's very easy especially in America, I think, in a society that's used to so much prosperity and comfort and success and winning, 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 as they say. Whenever we run into difficulty, we feel like everything's falling apart. Where's God? My dreams didn't happen. My five-year plan didn't happen. Or this relationship didn't happen. Or actually, I've got this sickness I'm battling right now. This can't be right. And so we lose our confidence in God. We lose joy. We lose security. We lose a sense of mission and purpose. And we don't see what Paul's able to see here. And I wanted to read this today because this is part of our inheritance as well. The Lord doesn't want us to be a yo-yo in this world, up and down and up and down. We have struggles, our faith will be challenged. That's normal. But I think too often we're confident or we're happy in the Lord when all the circumstances of our lives are where we want them to be. The level of comfort, the level of success, the level of freedom, whatever it might be, then we're okay. But when that gets challenged, when it gets taken away, when we suffer, it can be very easy to have our hearts cry, where is God? And if God loves me, why would he let this happen to me? And then we begin to doubt, and we don't trust, and we don't surrender. So Paul's a tremendous example for us here. I want to jump down to verse 27. Paul begins to orient the letter toward a beautiful hymn in chapter 2 that we're going to talk about tomorrow. He says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. Paul's praying. He said, now, live a life worthy of the good news of knowing Jesus Christ. What does that look like? Well, he said, number one, stand firm together in one spirit. You're one family now. You share. You've been made brothers and sisters in Christ. The Spirit of Christ is in you. So let the Holy Spirit unite you. Be obedient, surrendered in your life to the Holy Spirit. The next thing he says is be of one mind, striving side by side. That is one mind in faith, in the faith of the gospel. The gospel, Paul will say in different ones of his letters, the gospel that I brought to you, the clear gospel, the true gospel, wrap your mind around it together. Stand united in that gospel. Yield yourself, you know, come under his lordship, come under the lordship of Jesus. Allow his word to unite you and form you into one body. And he says, don't be frightened in anything by your opponents. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid of trial. Don't be afraid of shaking. Don't be afraid of difficulty. Don't be afraid of disappointment. Don't be afraid of those who might oppose you for who you are in Christ. Don't be afraid of a culture that's growing more and more hostile to the faith. But stand together in Christ for the sake of the gospel and lead a life worthy of that gospel. It's a great question to ask ourselves. Is my manner of life, does it communicate the gospel? Am I living a life that's consistent with what I confess? Let's chew on that today. Hope you can join me tomorrow. I'm going to talk about the amazing chapter 2 of Philippians, where it talks about the humility and the glory and exaltation of Jesus. Hope you can join me.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.